Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. After a valiant White Sox game, we bring on John Tatey, our pop culture expert with TV trivia. And for all your summer tech needs, we have our tech expert Steve Van Dinter with educator and comedian Bill Gorko and historian Frank Valdez to talk about democracy. And we've also got Dr. Lars Dingman, the iTunes psychic, live here in studio. But now, live from the WGN Radio Skyline Studios, we are broadcasting live.
Let's get started because we have a jam-packed show. We booked about 4 hours of show, even knowing we only had 3 hours, possibly, and now we have less, John Tatey. So thank you so much for being patient. And it was an exciting game, though, because the Sox were behind the entire time, and then they scored 4 runs in one inning, and then they did it again, and it was
exciting. I was following it on my phone all night because I was preparing to leave, like, at the end of the eighth inning. And then I'm halfway down Lawrence Avenue and I get a text from you that says, extra innings, buddy. So park it.
Apologize. Well, no, but
we've been hanging out here in the beautiful new WGN facilities.
Yes.
And it's a nice hangout place. Nothing against Tribune Tower. I loved it there. But it wasn't, your office at least was not really a hangout space.
No.
It was a place that you throw your bag and then just get out.
And I'm going to make it more of a hangout place, but don't tell my bosses. I have all kinds of plans for decorating in there.
I understand there's some furniture on it.
Yes, we were in there watching some Jimmy Cagney. We were watching Yankee Doodle Dandy in my office.
Were we ever?
Yeah, sorry about that.
I think I saw the whole movie
via
YouTube clips that people like recorded their TV.
Yeah, and my description of what. And then President Roosevelt gives him the Congressional Medal of Honor, and he was the first performer.
The DVD commentary track provided by Patty.
And you know, Jimmy Cagney didn't. He was self-taught. Okay, let's get to it. Because we have a TV trivia quiz from you, and this is, and I want our listeners to have a chance to win something. We're going to give away something different this time.
Oh, what is it?
We're going to give away Joan Jett tickets. We have a pair of Joan Jett tickets for her. She's performing this Saturday with Styx at Northerly Island, and I'm so excited to give these away. So
wow,
yes, I know,
this is an exciting prize,
and I will have we will have also some backup prizes.
Okay, for the consolation
prize. Yes,
consolation bracket. So I need two players. Tonight's quiz is called A Host of Hosts, and it's all about game show hosts. We'll see how you do.
312.
So I want some game show. Oh, sorry, Patty. I want some game show experts to call into this number.
Yes, because we asked earlier, 312-981-7200. Again, the number is 312-981-7200. We are doing a TV trivia quiz with John Tatey on Tuesday. It's game show hosts, and we have a pair of tickets to see Joan Jett this Saturday night in Northerly Island. She's appearing with Styx, and we asked around the horn. We have Frank Valdez is in studio with us as well. He is the director at the American Bar Association in the Division for Public Education. And I said we could just do like an in-house, you know, trivia game, mm-hmm. and then just give away the tickets to like the third caller. And then you said it was game show host. And Frank, what did you and I say?
I don't know anything about game show hosts.
But then after you left, Patty, Frank was starting to say, like, well, is it the old game shows? And I said, well, it's all game shows from all eras. And he was like, okay, maybe I could hang then.
All right. So maybe Frank could be a lifeline for one of our contestants. We have
the
phones lighting up. And as soon as we get let's take our first contestant. Rob is on the line. Hello, Rob. Happy 4th of July. How are you doing? Rob? Hi, Rob. Did Rob?
That's good.
Hey, Rob. All right,
hey.
I'm going to go. Oh, hi. Are you? We switching phones? How are you doing, Rob?
Yes, I was. Oh, I was.
No worries. All right, so
you're putting on my headset.
Oh, he's getting serious about this.
Rob's ready. Rob.
He wants his hands free in order to be able to get into this. All right, Rob, you hold on. Where are you calling from, Rob?
I'm on the Skyway right now, heading toward Michigan.
Are you got a vacation place there? Or are you working?
No, I'm working.
Be truck safe. Driver. Oh, there you go. Hey, everybody. The truckers are working, so be careful out there and make sure that
I love when the truckers call in.
Yeah.
They're some of my favorite contestants.
I agree. And let's see what Paul's doing. Hey, Paul, happy 4th of July.
Same deal.
Excellent. Now, do you feel like you know game show hosts?
No.
Uh-oh. Do you like Joan Jett?
I like Six. I like Six and Joan Jett.
All right. I'm going to make this work. Hold on a second. All right. Take it away, John. We are doing TV trivia with John Tatey.
Okay, fellas, here's how we're going to play it tonight. I'm going to read you a list of people who have hosted the same game show. These are all hosts in each question who have hosted the same game show. And as I list them off, you shout out your name to, quote-unquote, buzz in, okay, and guess the show. So as you just shout out your name anytime once you think you know what show these guys all hosted, guys and gals, I should say. And whoever has the most right at the end will win the Joan Jett tickets.
Ooh.
Okay. So let's practice our buzz in right now, okay? So both of you guys buzz in. 1, 2, 3, go.
Hello. Rob Hall.
Excellent. Okay.
Did I win?
That's right. Yep, you won the tutorial, Paul. Okay, here we go. Here's the first one. Get ready to ring in. Again, I'm reading off. These are all guys who hosted the same show. Rolf Benerschke. Bob Gowen, Chuck Woolery,
Paul,
what's your guess?
The dating game?
It's not the dating game. Okay, I've got one more on my list. Rob, this is all yours. The final name on the list is Pat Sajak.
Wheel of Fortune?
Wheel of Fortune is correct.
There were four hosts for Wheel of Fortune?
Woo. There were four hosts. Rolf Benerschke, the first one I read off, is the least known. He was a kicker for the Chargers, who Merv Griffin just happened to take a shine to. So after his football career ended, he did a little TV and then ended up hosting Wheel of Fortune. He was quite terrible at it. Poor Rolf just was not cut out for that job.
All right. All right.
So that's one point for Rob. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Next one. Ray Combs. Louis Anderson.
Oh!
Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey.
Paul,
what's your guess?
Yeah. It is...
Quiet, Rob. No mocking laughs in the background, Rob. Hold on. Come on, Paul.
Oh, his laugh threw me off. Now I'm thinking.
Three.
Is it Family Feud?
Yes, it is. There we go. Right under the wire. Okay.
Man, the whipping helped, I guess. I don't know.
That was some clutch whipping there, Mike. Okay, here's your next one, guys. Carney Wilson. Sherry Shepherd. Gary Kroger. Bob Eubanks.
Rob,
what's your guess?
The Newlywed Game.
That is correct. Well done. Yeah, Sherry Shepherd, the most recent host of the Newlywed Game.
Yeah,
she hosted a revival for a few years on GSN, the game show network. Okay, so it's 2-1 in whose favor?
In Rob's favor. Yes.
Okay. Here's the next one, fellas. Michael Berger, Ross Schaefer, Alec Baldwin, and Gene Rayburn.
Paul.
What's your guess?
What's my line?
Good guess, Paul, but that's not it.
One more time for Rob. Michael Berger, Ross Schaefer, Alec Baldwin, and Gene Rayburn have all hosted iterations of which game show?
I'll take a guess. To tell the truth.
Tell the truth. Another good guess. Another classic. But let's go into the studio.
Frank, and you get to pick which contestant you want to try to win a point for.
That's not right.
Just kidding.
How can I tie it up?
Yes.
Can I tie it up, or is it already tied?
No, it's not tied. You can tie it up if you want.
I'll tie it up with whoever's behind. Match game.
That is correct.
Hey, Paul just got tied up from Frank. All right.
Okay, Paul, get a charity point there.
You're welcome.
Charity point. All right.
Okay, here's the next.
Me and Frank are going to see Joan Jett.
That's it.
All right.
We got three more here, so we'll see how we do. Here's the next one. Pat Finn, Bill Cullen, Snoop Dogg, and Jack Barry. Pat Finn, Bill Cullen. Rob, I heard first. Rob, go ahead.
Yes, Joker's Wild.
Very good. That is correct, Rob. Rob came to play. Yes, was the Joker's Wild. Snoop Dogg's version, in fact, is currently airing on TBS, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's...
I'm quoting you. Too late.
It's going to be in the papers tomorrow. Okay, so Rob has surged back into the lead as we go into our next question. Cedric the Entertainer. Chris Harrison, Meredith Vieira, Regis Philbin.
Rob Hall.
Oh, Rob, you got him just under the wire. What's your guess, Rob?
Who wants to be a millionaire?
That is correct.
There you go.
Okay. One more, fellas. Here we go. Regis Philbin, Tom Kennedy, Burt Convy, and Alan Ludden. Regis Philbin, Tom Kennedy, Burt Convy, and Alan Ludden all hosted different iterations of which game show? Do we know it in the studio here?
Oh, interesting.
No, I don't know.
No, Patty, you don't have any idea? Oh, I'm surprised. Okay. And it feels like our contestants don't know. Either of you want to make a guess?
Sure, I'll guess.
Rob.
All right, Paul. Well, Paul chimed in first,
yes.
I thought, right?
Yes. Yeah,
Paul, what's your guess?
My guess is... oh, I know what it is. It's...
yeah.
Oh, sorry. Geez, I don't know.
All right,
okay,
Rob.
Wow, that was a real roller coaster there.
It was.
Rob,
I was going to say maybe the $25,000 pyramid.
Ooh, good guess. You know, it's the same type of game.
What do you think, Frank?
Frank?
Well, yeah, it's the
64,000. Is that the name of the
No,
show?
Not the $64,000 question either. It was actually Password.
Ooh.
Password.
Oh.
Alan Ludden is most famous, in fact, for hosting Password for quite a long time. But I believe we do have a winner.
Yes, we do. Rob is going. Now, Rob, can you go see Joan Jett and Styx?
Oh, yes.
All right. Rob.
All right.
Right. Look at that. Rob, hold on the line. You got a pair of tickets to see Joan Jett and Styx play at Northerly Island. Now, Paul, do you have any? I have a couple things for you that I could offer you. I would love to give you, actually, there's a dude go ziplining at all? Would you like to go ziplining in Northwest Indiana?
No.
All right. Then you know what? You get a pizza. You get a Lou Malnati's Pizza, the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. I mean, like, some people are nervous
about
heights.
I want to go ziplining. Can you do the ziplining plug?
I can
take
you.
Oh,
the ziplining is amazing. It's so much fun. It is a 2-hour adult adventure package for two at Northwest Indiana Deep River Aerial Park. You can climb through treetop obstacles and soar through zip lines. And I did it. We did it over zombies. Actually, they did it in October. You can do this pretty much year-round. I mean, obviously, when it gets really cold, you don't do it. But they go through late fall, obviously open now, and it is a blast. They have these, like, different like levels of expertise. Not expertise, but like difficulty getting across like platforms and single rope climbing and just a great obstacle course.
Sounds fun.
And when you get to the top, to the end of the obstacle course, then you zip line all the way down. It's so much.
But the host of the quiz segment is not eligible to win that prize.
I'll figure out a way. Next recess we do, I'll make sure that you're invited to that.
Okay.
Time now for a quick break, and then we're going to jump in with Steve Van Dinter. We're going to get some recommendations from John Tatey.
Oh,
we're
Steve's coming?
Steve Van Dinter we have on, and then we're going to talk about this experiment in democracy that I think is the 4th of July. What's it all about? What are we, it's hot dogs, it's burgers, and it's democracy. Citizenship, my friends. More after this on 720 WGN. We are hanging out. It's Tech Tuesday and TV Trivia with John Tatey. And you always have great recommendations. Although I do feel like I finally got to step up and give you one with Cobra Kai.
Oh, you're never going to let that go, are you? That was like 2 months ago, Patty.
I know. Well, because I need people to, I think people really would enjoy it if they're at all, even a tiny bit of a fan of or have any sentimentality for Karate Kid.
Even if you're just aware of it through osmosis, I think you can appreciate
right?
It's a fun series.
It's wonderful.
You're right, Patty, but I'm tired of telling you you're right about it. So right. Let's get
well,
to my
you've been right about almost everything that you've told me to
well,
watch.
Well, in my view, yeah, I'm batting 1,000.
Except for American Vandal. I watched like in the background. I was whatever.
You did not care for that one. Well, I've made a few recommendations that you were.
Oh, I
not
love
as
Wild Wild
about.
Country.
Wild Wild Country, yeah.
What else have I not? You never liked Ozark.
Oh, that's never, right. Yeah, you recommended that to me. I couldn't stand that.
Okay.
Anyway,
what do you got now?
I got another Netflix pick this week, and I feel bad because Frank, as we were talking off the air, Frank doesn't have Netflix. So if you don't have Netflix,
find a friend.
Maybe I can entice you with The Staircase. Have you heard about this series?
I have heard about The Staircase.
Yes. So this is a French series that the bulk of it first aired in the mid-2000s, about a decade ago, but they've added to it a couple times over the years as this bizarre murder case has developed. And it happened in Durham, North Carolina, and this woman seemed to have fell down the stairs and died. Her husband, sort of a prominent member of the Durham community, was the only other person home. And as soon as the cops got there, they basically started to investigate him for murder and, in fact, arrested him. And the series, it just pursues the case as it winds through the investigation and the courts. And you'll be watching it and you'll think this guy definitely did it. And then 15 minutes later, you'll think, oh, no, he definitely didn't do it. But that's, you know, there's a lot of true crime series in the ether right now that kind of have that dynamic, right? Right, Patty?
Otherwise, why make the series?
Well, yeah. Right? So you got to have that. But this is a fascinating series in terms of looking at the process, especially the defense attorney's process for investigating and building their case. You really get an intimate insight. I can't believe the access that the filmmakers got. I wonder if it's because they were French and, you know, from a different country and you expect maybe it's not going to be seen here. But it has come to Netflix with three new to 2018 episodes, sort of the epilogue to the epilogue of the story. And my wife, Anne, and I have been blazing through this series.
Really?
We are hooked on it.
I love it.
The Staircase. It's okay. On Netflix.
The
new
Staircase.
To Netflix.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. Now, Frank Valdez was telling us, now, Steve, I ran to get you, and then it gave us more time to do the recommendations, and I don't want to skip over any recommendations you might have in TV or movies, but Frank was saying, because a lot of my friends have seen the documentary about Mr. Rogers. Not that many of my friends have seen RBG.
RBG, yeah. It's really great. It's a wonderful documentary about the life and career of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who really was just a pioneer and a pathbreaker, whether you agree with her or not. Her intelligence is fantastic. Her gumption, her persistence. She's a remarkable human being, and it's well worth seeing.
Excellent. And I need to see. The movies I went to go see are like Incredibles 2. I went and saw like Jurassic World, you know. So
you went to see the new Jurassic World?
Okay, John, back off. I loved it.
It's
a horror movie. The thing is, if you go in thinking this is like a horror movie, I was screaming at the theater, at the screen. I was like, don't go in the cage. Like, that was me at the movies. I was jumping out of my seat. Yeah, it was a good popcorn movie.
I want to see that one.
I enjoyed it so much.
I do. There's something about dinosaurs and
$1 billion in around the world, John. People are seeing the movie. How about what are you seeing? What have you seen, Steve?
So that's on my list. Like, yes. One of the ones that I want to see. I haven't gotten to see a movie in a long time, actually. So I don't even know what's out there right now.
What about TV? What are you watching on TV?
So for me, Westworld, you know, that just wrapped up.
Just wrapped up second season.
I can see that.
Silicon Valley, big fan of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Again, more of on the techie side.
Well, let's bring this into tech because tomorrow night, a friend of mine's having a 4th of July party and I was struggling with this and I wanted to call you, but I thought I'm not going to bother him. And I actually found an interesting solution. But she wants to watch, she has a pool and she wants to watch Jaws on a projector outside. So I bought a projector last year to be able to like, because my son will like hit a TV, like Declan, who has autism and a neurological disorder, you know, he wants to be in the screen. Like he wants to put his hands on it and he wants to pull on it and, you know, and throw things at it. So we thought, what if we project an image on the wall, on a screen? So I have this and my issue was going to be partly the picture, obviously, and what the source is, but the sound is the hardest thing. Do you have any suggestions for people who want to have outdoor portable Bluetooth speakers?
I do. So are you planning on hooking it up through like a laptop?
Yes.
Okay. So you've got that. So if your laptop has Bluetooth, I would do a Bluetooth speaker personally.
Right. Do you have any
Will it sync up, Steve?
It will.
With the image?
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you sync it straight from the source that's playing it, so in this case, the laptop, it will definitely be in sync.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any recommendations for, because you know, you want it to have enough to carry when you're outside. Is there like a certain amount of
wattage?
Yeah.
How big of a space are we talking about?
Massive yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people.
What you could do, I love the UE Mega Boom and the UE Boom 2. Okay. So, and the reason for that is it sounds like you're going to have quite a few people in the neighborhood coming together. Chances are somebody might have one of these. These allow you to what's called daisy chain them together. So basically, once you beam the Bluetooth signal to one, they'll talk to the other ones. So you could place them around the people and create kind of more of a sound, a surround sound experience. Okay. Otherwise, like the Mega Boom itself would be plenty big enough. Basically, you're just going to want to, you know, a couple watts is going to be fine, unless you're talking about a huge space.
Okay, UE Mega Boom.
How do you spell that?
UE.
Yeah.
And then
UE, the letters.
Yep, letters UE. And then
I'm supposed to be on a 10, Steve, so I'm just dragging a little bit.
Stands for Urban Ears.
Okay.
And then it's Mega Boom, so MEGA.
Yeah, UE makes.
Yeah. Okay. It is 11:44 now, so.
Traditional spelling, yes. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase, the Allstate Skyline Studios now, by the way.
Is that what it's called?
Very impressive, by the way. I was blown away.
I know,
Isn't
Steve,
it beautiful? Patty, I miss the Showcase Studio, but
I was in the green room and just like in awe, like looking out at the window.
We should have let you turn the lights off in there. You just like look at the sky.
They turn off when you don't move. Yeah. So it went dark quite a few times on me.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but is that true? This is called the Skyline Studio?
Yes,
it is. Such a romantic name. I love it.
And we have Allstate is all in with us. We've got the chairs. We've got the whole screen behind you that is spot. I'll pull it down maybe during the commercial.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. We are so thrilled. Thank you so much to Allstate for sponsoring us. And welcome to the Skyline Studios, WGN. I want to, now Steve and John, I want to fold you in this conversation with Frank because we're condensing the show a little bit tonight. And I don't know if my other guest is going to be here tonight. We were going to have Bill Gorgo on, who is a comedian and a bit of a philosopher. And I thought it would be interesting to bring in a couple people that I know personally, and I know their background and what they bring to a conversation about democracy. It is the 4th of July. Mm. We're celebrating the independence of America. And we're also having a lot of really important conversations about our rights. You know, what it means to have freedom of speech and the right to bear arms and no quartering of soldiers. Wait, nobody ever talks about that one, Frank. How come no one talks about habeas corpus? Nobody ever, no?
Well, people talk about habeas corpus a lot. They don't talk about quartering of soldiers too much.
Which is, I think, is that fourth? That's the Fourth Amendment.
Quartering is fourth, yes.
Yeah. You know how I remember it? Quartering, right? I did there? Yeah.
It's never been tested in court. Fourth Amendment. It has never come up.
You're right. But
that's true.
Think of how important it must have been in 1776 or in 1787, right? Because it's in our Constitution.
Well, leading up to 1789.
Right,
sure.
Yeah. Imagine how important that was that you could not knock on someone's door and go, hey, these guys need someplace to sleep. Get out of the way.
I guess they were still pretty sore over it.
Yeah, apparently.
Right?
Let's talk.
But why
about
are we
that.
Talking about it when right. we've got Frank here? The expert.
Well,
I feel so
well,
silly.
No, it's for all of us to talk about. That's the idea of democracy and the experiment that we are still a part of. So let's talk about that. It's the 4th of July, and we've got so much to talk about. Give us a call, 312-981-7200, or text us at the same number, 312-981-7200. It's your conversation, too. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea has a night off. Is it the 4th of July already? Feels like we just had this a year ago, doesn't it? Celebrating the independence of America. Do we have to do this every year, Frank?
I think you do.
It's
a rule.
Is it a rule?
It's more of a guideline, actually.
Is it strange this year because, for many reasons, but I would just say I'm just on the calendar itself, on a Wednesday, nobody knows what to do with their time. Did it start last Friday or did it start today? Is it a long weekend going through next Monday?
I noticed that there was no one on the train on Monday morning.
Right, so they started.
It was all week, those are my favorite commutes. There's nobody around.
There's nobody in your way. That is Frank Valadez, who is the director for the Division of Public Education with the American Bar Association. And I know him because he was one of my mentors at the University of Illinois in the history department. And I actually, we had so many great conversations. As much as my other mentors and I we agreed on everything, you and I would often disagree on things. And that was what I think had developed my skills as a talk show host here at WGN, just so you know.
You're welcome.
Wow, he was your mentor in more ways than one, though.
Yes. Well, we would have, maybe we'd have a chicken sandwich at the White Horse Inn, and the next thing you know, we're arguing about the chief.
I think I agreed with you on the chief.
I think you agree. Well, maybe. We don't have to get into the details.
We were arguing with other people about the chief.
Perhaps. But I wanted to invite you in tonight because I was thinking about the fact that when we celebrate the Memorial Day, or when we honor and talk about Memorial Day, people always want to remind us, and we should, that it's to remember those who've given the ultimate sacrifice. Mm. And we don't always talk about what it means to honor the 4th of July and what it means to have left the monarchy of England. And you were, I asked you to come in and talk about the experiment of democracy, which is what some people call this country, the great experiment. Isn't that accurate that that's what we've come to call it a little bit?
Some people do. That's right. I mean, it's not what the founders generally would have said.
Right.
They would have been skeptical of democracy a little bit. And the term, you know, the experiment in democracy isn't something that I don't think that Jefferson or Washington ever said. It kind of comes up a little bit later in the 19th century. But they do use the word experiment sometimes. And, you know, Lincoln referred to, you know, during the Gettysburg Address, the proposition that government of the people, by the people, and for the people would not perish from the earth. So that kind of idea of something that isn't proven or something that could go away was certainly some the way that a lot of people thought about, if not democracy, representative government. And the reason that they thought that is because practically every form of representative government before the American Revolution ultimately ended up not sustaining itself as a representative form of government.
Like and what? I'm sorry, can I just, on that point, like what examples would they have been looking at?
Well, the founders, you know, certainly men of the Enlightenment, very aware of classical learning. Mm-hmm. They would have studied Greek and those sorts of things, and they would have looked at primarily the example of ancient Greece and what happened with Athens and any of the other. Athens is, of course, the classic example. There may have been one or two other city-states. I'm not an expert on mm-hmm. all of the mm-hmm. Of ancient Greece that may have had some form of representative government in some way, or democracy, meaning the people, you know, mm-hmm. many people participating. And even though at the time in Athens, probably only 8% of citizens actually could participate in the government, that was far more than the one or two or very small number of people who might have led any of the other governments in the area at the time. And the interesting thing about the Greeks is they were philosophers. They spent a lot of time writing and thinking about all sorts of things, politics, science, obviously drama and literature. And the way that they began to theorize politics and government kind of shaped a lot of the ways that then in Western society we talk about government and politics since then.
It's incredible just to think of the undertaking. We were laughing before the show because I had sat down with my family to watch 1776 tonight. And it's a musical, but they actually do an interesting job of showing you the arguments that that John Adams had, that trying to convince everybody in the room that, and sort of, you know, Benjamin Franklin, you know, philosophizing about it and how they convinced Thomas Jefferson to write the Declaration. And the things that he puts forth, what they wrote, what they decided to make the statement to say, this is why we are declaring, these are the reasons that we must leave, that we must have our own society. And look, we had phone calls the other night about, you know, why do immigrants have to come here? You know, why can't they do the way our forefathers did? Well, you know, our forefathers came here. Many of the colonists came here to escape persecution or hardships or servitude, really. I mean, like, there were people who came here who were indentured servants, and they were promised this idea of freedom if they served out their time here. And so, you know, what does it mean to have established this territory? I mean, and take it away from somebody else. Ultimately, we were taking away, it's interesting that we were taking away the rights of some in order to establish ours, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, as you would know, Patty, there are some historians who wrote books with titles like Slavery and Freedom, making the argument that the freedom that a lot of people, particularly white males, could enjoy in the United States was because there were other people who were not free, whether they were women or slaves or workers without rights, that freedom that a certain segment of the population could enjoy was really built on kind of the oppression of other groups. The thing that it's kind of funny to think about, and it leads to, you know, kind of ironic situations sometimes, or perhaps hypocrisy, is that our nation, the Declaration of Independence, which of course the July 4th marks when it was announced to the people that these are the reasons that we're establishing this new nation, speaks in universal terms. Or as universal as they could get, all men are created equal, mm-hmm. which of course means all people are created equal or should have equal rights. And, you know, if you take that seriously, that means everybody. Everybody should have the opportunity to pursue happiness, to be free. And so very often, unfortunately, too often in our nation's history, we haven't lived up to that. But I still think that it's absolutely worth celebrating that goal of universal freedom and liberty. And you say you want to honor the holiday. And, you know, you could think about the patriots who fought and won the revolution. But I would rather personally think that it should be a great party to celebrate liberty. And so we should have a really wonderful day to celebrate joyously that kind of potential. And to the extent that we are as a nation able to live up to that, we should certainly celebrate that.
And that's interesting that you mention it because, you know, when we have the parades I'm going to be in the Skokie parade and I'll be in the Evanston parade as well. And, you know, the idea that it's become more of a celebration of rah, rah America, as we should, but rah, rah America. America means freedom and liberty. And the thing is, but it also means how do you establish and protect liberties and also participate with everybody else around? I mean, like, how do you, you know, is in a social setting with everybody, everyone's freedoms, because everyone has a different idea of what that means. Right?
Well, yeah. Well, I we might be able to have a few things in common, I think.
Right.
But we are going to disagree on some things. You know, at what point does taxation become oppressive? We might have different ideas about what that is. You know, a lot of the cases that recently came up to the Supreme Court, you know, is it an abuse of my rights to have to pay agency fees to be part of to get the benefits of being a labor union? Or is it not? And so we can disagree on those things, but still, I think, hold all of us share that principle of what individual liberty should be.
Right. And we're going to, it's public order. How do you, you're free, but we also have to maintain laws. And, you know, which laws then infringe on freedoms? It's such an interesting balance. It's such an interesting yin and yang. And when we watch these cases go up to the Supreme Court, we don't know the bulk of it. There are ones that catch our attention, you know, whether it's a Hobby Lobby or unions or, you know, voting rights or, you know, clearing the rolls. Those are the ones that grab our attention. And there's so many other things.
Well, so as part of my job, I've actually been listening to all of the oral arguments for every Supreme Court case over the past year and a half. And a lot of them are, you know, patent cases. They're impossible. Well, I'm sorry. There are some people who can listen to them and really understand what's going on, but they don't really stir your soul the way some of the cases. So the like Trump v. Hawaii obviously was something that that would make a lot of sense to people as they're listening to the oral argument or reading the briefs or whatever they would do.
I don't want to. I'm sorry. Well, it's after the
news. Gotta go.
But no, I want to. Oh no, Michael, I'm getting an echo. Can you hear that? Victor, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, what do you want, our historian, our WGN historian, what do you want to share with us, Victor?
Okay, Anderson, George Ronan, assigned to Fort Dearborn, was right there, killed in the Fort Dearborn massacre. He was the first West Point graduate killed in action. Okay, so,
okay.
And the other thing, Tamayo and Skokie, at 7700 Frontage Road, that was Allstate's headquarters for 40 years in Skokie.
Oh, really? That's a wonderful sort of serendipity in the Allstate's Showcase Studio, and that I'll be in Skokie tomorrow. Thank you so much for that, Victor. Have a wonderful 4th of July. We've got to run to the news. We are talking about democracy, the 4th of July, this great experiment that we're all a part of, and maybe that's why we all kind of feel like mice. We're all just kind of crawling over each other and just trying to get the cheese. Sorry, I know. I can make it work any way I want, John. No, the way that we sort of talk to each other, the discourse that we have has gotten so very, it's gotten sort of nasty. But you know what? The ugly discourse isn't actually anything new. They were pretty, pretty brutal all the way through.
You know, I don't want to delay the news too much, but I am going to go
this
segment. So I just want to, Frank gave voice to something that's really important to me when I think about my personal patriotism, if you want to call it that, which is these ideals of personal liberty and of one person, one vote, etc. You know, I feel like we can look back at how we failed to live up to these ideals, as Frank said, but I also feel like part of our soul as a nation is that we're always progressing toward those ideals, right? We're on a journey together and we're still on it. And to me, that journey defines America as much as those static ideals, you know, the practice of getting closer to them. I think if you think of it that way, it's easier to sort of contextualize the ways we've failed to live up to them in the past. As long as we keep marching toward that progress, our soul is still intact. Now, as for what's been going on lately, well, the segment's over, so we can't get into that.
No, we're going to do that. We'll talk more about it when we come back.
I won't be here.
I think the discussions that we have are important, but we take a break for the news, and we'll come back. And by the way, Steve Van Dinter, a lot of people are texting solutions for my speaker issue for outdoor and my projector. So thank you so much to the 217 who's giving me a lot of suggestions. I will get to those in a little bit. Happy 4th of July, everybody! You know, it's like a birthday, you know, when it turns midnight. It's when you celebrate your birthday. As soon as the clock strikes midnight.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday, America.
I didn't even think about it. I just missed my lead.
Oh.
I should. Oh, my God. It's America's birthday.
It's America's birthday. I feel like we don't say that as often on the 4th of July anymore.
We
just, like, we barbecue. What are you doing for the 4th of July, Domati?
Sleeping?
All right. I feel like that's what you told me as well.
Yeah, got to get it in when you can.
Frank, you celebrate democracy by also sleeping, right?
No, I read the newspaper.
It's a true American right there.
There. Yeah. Domati, are you going to any of the parades or any fireworks, anything?
No, you know what? I might hang out with family. My sister usually does a little barbecue grill, some hot dogs, and, you know, we relax. And it's interesting because they cook all the meat for me because they don't really eat red meat, but I eat anything that once moved. So,
fair enough. And as are you going to some barbecue tomorrow?
Yeah, that's the plan. We'll see what happens.
I hear there's
She's
a tiki party.
She's sleeping.
I hear there's a tiki party you should go to.
I have a lot on my list, and I don't have a lot of time.
All right, fair enough.
Well,
I know there's a party where they're showing Jaws. But I'm not going to be able to stay.
With Bluetooth speakers.
Yes, but yeah. I actually have to set them up and then leave because I'll be working tomorrow night.
Oh.
I'll be here. And we're talking about democracy again tomorrow night, by the way, Frank. So if you want to come back for more democracy.
I'm not sure I want to commute on Wednesday.
You can never get enough democracy. Are you kidding? We're going to be down here during the fireworks at Navy Pier.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And I'm actually bringing my whole family down to watch from Studio A. And then I was listening to other shows, and they were all talking about how this is the best place to watch the fireworks. I'm like,
it's going
to
be packed.
It's going to be packed. Studio A is going to be packed. We're going to start selling tickets. It's going to be insane. Well, we are talking about democracy. It is America's birthday. And joining me in studio is Frank Valadez. He is the director for the Division of Public Education with the American Bar Association. Steve Van Dinter joins us for Tech Tuesday. And we have somebody texting. I think this is, we all have, I'm guessing on some level, agree in so many ways. But I like to believe, or at least hope, that things will gradually get better. Despite the present turmoil, this still seems to be the best country in the world. Maybe I'm just a dreamer. I mean, that's, and you were talking earlier about, you know, we keep working toward it. The way Thomas Jefferson and the framers wrote the Declaration were in very broad terms, which leaves so much room for us to continue to work on it.
Well, yes, and apparently there seems to be a lot of work still to be done. I guess one thing that I'm a little skeptical of is this notion of historical progress always getting better. I think that much more sort of responsible or maybe honest kind of assessment is of continuing challenges. So as things change, as technology changes, or perhaps as the climate changes, or as there are other kinds of issues or situations that arise, people, communities are always going to face different kinds of challenges, and they may not always address them in the best ways possible. You know, human beings are still on some levels animals, and have those kinds of biological impulses that may not always lead to the most thoughtful, reasoned kinds of responses.
Right, because if we are led by fear or anger, then we make different decisions than if we took a step back and we're aware, right? I mean, that's the idea of reasoning, of logic, of being present, is to actually ask what's actually happening. What is, you know, when you feel threatened by somebody, you take a step back or take a breath and go, "What? Why am I feeling this way?" And that's the hardest thing, I think, to ask yourself, why do I feel this way? And I often, when I see angry texts come across the screen, and I'm like, really, if my voice is making you that angry, there has to be something else that's going on.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that is sort of troubling to me, or a concern that we should be aware of, is that, we all like to think that we are perfectly rational human beings, and that is not always the case. And so when you look at medical literature, psychological literature, different kinds of biological responses to situations, or even types of things like the Dunning-Kruger effect, where people aren't aware that they don't know things. And it's incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to get them to understand what they don't know in order to effectively judge evidence or proof when they're making a decision about something or coming to understand something. That's a real challenge to democracy when you think that we're supposed to have are intelligent, well-educated, thoughtful, honest citizens who can weigh evidence and come to agreement on different kinds of decisions or issues or questions. If it's really impossible for people to, on some level, to agree or come to agreement, that is going to be a constant challenge to the smooth operation of society. And that's the thing that I think that we just always need to be aware of. It. And so unless humans are going to evolve out of that, it's going to be hard to just get better and better all the time. It really is just an ongoing challenge that we need to be aware of and prepared to address as those situations arise.
What do you see unfolding on social media when it comes to having these conversations? Because I've noticed that you have stepped back a little bit more, I think, on social media? Yeah.
Okay.
You don't necessarily engage in arguments with folks.
Some of my closest friends would probably disagree with you.
Oh, really?
On that. I try to
be. You dabble? Because you and I used to argue a lot. When I was young at the U of I, you and I would, and not ferociously, but we would have healthy debates. And I could imagine that you would want to, I can see you tangling with some folks. And it is an interesting element of democracy now, is a different way to express your First Amendment.
Right. So I will say that I do much better in person than I do through social media. When I get frustrated with people and it comes out in sarcastic writing, that's something that I need to try and be aware of personally and try to grow myself. In person, I do much better because I can, see someone and if they're visibly upset, we can look at this both ways. So I do much better in these kinds of conversations, but people push my buttons on social media, but I do try. In fact, I had a disagreement with somebody yesterday about something, but each of the posts that I did, I posted a link to some study that was a social science study that was done to support my position. And what was aggravating for me about my friend is that he wasn't. He was just not paying any attention or engaging with anything that passed for evidence, let alone proof. He lives in Colorado, so he's not listening to this.
38 states of Canada, including Colorado, I believe, right now. But here's the thing is that, a lot of people, their opinion becomes their identity. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, why people get so defensive.
Okay. So, and in fact, there's some social science research on this, that once you pick a team, you change your views to fit your team. So the sort of extreme partisanship that we're seeing, people tend not to look at evidence and then have that guide them to where they go. They pick a team and the evidence gets kind of shaped around which side they're on. And that gets... One of the things that I notice on social media that I notice and it bothers me is that, so you'll see some posts that have to do with Black Lives Matter, right? And clearly there's something going on there where racial minorities are being treated differently by the police in general, right? I think that we can kind of observe that. On the other hand, I grew up in a neighborhood with policemen and firemen, and so I know these guys, and I've known them my whole life. And then some of them will post about, you know, policemen that who've been killed in the line of duty, right? And that, of course, that is an incredibly stressful, dangerous job, right? I'm sympathetic on that side too. And yet, but on social media, they show up as polar mm-hmm. opposites. And somewhere we need to be able to have better conversations to bridge that gap, those gaps that exist, and find ways to have in both cases, you know, just a more peaceful, safer society for everyone involved.
I don't want to let him go.
He's fascinating.
I can't believe it took me so long to bring you back, Frank. And I know that you've got had a long day and you've got to run because I promised you that you could leave at 12:15. It's now 12:17, so I've overextended the graciousness of your time. But I want you to come back and have more conversations with us because it's not just the 4th of July. It is our country. And it is, and our conversations are everyone from every point of view. Like you just mentioned, those two conversations about Black Lives Matters and Blue Lives Matter, right, is sort of this weird dividing line. And I am the same way. I grew up in Norwood Park, and my whole neighborhood is firefighters and cops. And, you know, I grew up in an area where I was torn, right? I love the people I grew up with. At the same time, they had ideas about Latinos and about Black people that was uncomfortable, not the cops or firefighters specifically, but in all white neighborhoods, right? And we have to, like, keep listening to each other, and that's why I keep showing up.
Just about that, you know, it's great to have these conversations on the 4th of July and to think about democracy in America on the 4th of July, but really engaged citizenship is 365 days a year. These kinds of questions ought to be on people's minds every day as right. they go about their daily lives. And everything you do, you know, the way that you react to traffic signs, you know, the people that you see on the street, part of that is civic engagement, staying informed, catching the news every day is part of civic engagement. That's important. The way that that you talk with other citizens, and I have another example now. It seems to have lost it from my mind. But all of those kinds of things are things that are important to consider on a daily basis, and not just on holidays when they're brought to mind by the calendar.
Well, when your calendar allows, please come back. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Sounds great.
By the way, we have some text coming in. I don't understand why it's easier or more preferable to become angry. That's from the 301, from the 217. Humans are not infallible, and I agree that behavioral decisions can be based on character, background, and society at that moment. Like Orange is the New Black, that each person has their own story. And that's a thing, too. And so, like, that's a whole conversation, how we bring our own experiences to the way we see the world. That's Frank Valdez. Do you want people to follow you at all, like on social
media?
Well,
you know what? I do have to say, so one of the things that I do with my job, the American Bar Association has a commitment to promoting understanding of the role of law in society and the rule of law. And if they want to find out more, they can go to our website, which is AmericanBar.org/public-ed.
And by the way, how come neither one of us got a law degree? Why didn't we do that? That was our intention.
My dad tried to bribe me to go to law school, and I refused.
You know who talked me out of it? Do you know who talked me out of it?
Was it me?
No.
Okay.
Vernon Burton.
Oh.
Dr. Burton told me I was a better historian than a lawyer. But that's it.
He might have been right. He might have been right.
But I'm here instead. I have to do a little bit of both. Anyway, arguing and talking about history. We're going to talk more with Steve Van Dinter. We also have a special guest coming in studio that I'm very excited about. Again, Frank Valdez has been in studio with us, and we welcome him back anytime he's available. He's a director for the Division for Public Education with the American Bar Association. One more time for that website.
Oh, my God. AmericanBar.org/public-ed.
Yes. Again, that's AmericanBar.org/public-ed right there on his card. Frank, I'm going to see you in a few weeks. I'm not going to let this much time pass again before we have a conversation. More with Steve Van Dinter, too, when we come back. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is off tonight. We'll have her back tomorrow night. More in a moment on 720 WGN. 100 events, 19 days, one epic food festival. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience this August. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Steve Van Dinter, our tech guy on loan from Verizon. Do we get to tell people things, or what's your mic on?
We can tell.
All right. So I'm guessing you already told Michael this news.
I did.
Okay.
I told him before the show.
So you were practicing.
I had to do a run through first before I actually faced you and saw the disappointment.
I've lost the sensation in my face. the grief has gripped my body. Congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you.
And you're moving to New York.
Yeah, New York area. So
moving to New York. If you can see New York, you're in New York.
Yeah, I can see the skyline. All right. Which will be awesome.
Yeah, fine. Congratulations. That is incredible. And I know. Here's the thing. I often wondered. Dr. Dingman joins us in studio as well. Dr. Dingman, I don't know if you've ever heard our tech guru, Steve Van Dinter, but I've often wondered, as with you, I don't know why any of you really give me as much of your time as you do, because you're so very talented and successful in your careers, and yet you're like, I'll do this middle of the night little show. And I'm glad that I'm now on earlier sometimes, and so I'll be able to enjoy your time as well there. But I never understood why you would come in until 2 a.m. and have to carve that time out for yourself, Steve. So thank you for all of that.
You're great.
Well, thank you. And Dr. Dingman, I know that I often interrupt your travels. And,
But usually, Patty, I'll just have a couple of pops and dial you. Typically is what happens on a Wednesday for me. But I enjoy my time on the air here, and you're delightful, which is why I continue to do it. I'll admit the first few times I just had a buzz on. But now I consider it a privilege.
Oh, well, thank you both very much. Now, Dr. Dingman, I know that recently you've had, at least in the last year or so, you've had some technical difficulties in your home with Wi-Fi and speed of your internet.
Yeah.
And I think at some point there was some spiritual thing involved.
Gremlins in the system there?
Yes, yeah. Pretty much.
Well, my grandmother could never wear a watch. If she put a watch, a windy watch on her arm, it would stop. And then you would take it off and it would start again. And this was her whole life. She could never wear a watch.
And you felt there was that kind of energy in
your
home.
Well, there's definitely a vibrational energy. There's electromagnetic energy, as I'm sure you know, around the body. Not much compared to a transformer. But it's all phased differently. There's a very potent vibrational structure to the universe.
Oh, I'm completely with you. I actually feel like I'm one of those people. The St. Louis Science Center has a... you put your hands on this two metal plates, and then they show you your electrical energy. When my parents did it, it was really low. When I touched it, it flatlined the needle.
Yeah.
Where is this?
This is at the St. Louis Science Center down in St. Louis.
Let's go.
It's actually pretty.
It's very true. Fun, everyone has their own. People have different personalities and things, and people have different amplitude of their personal vibration. And that's basically why what I do works, is because the universe is affecting and being affected by every individual's thumbprint, the digital thumbprint, if you will, vibrational, and technology as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have a friend, if he's in a bad mood, his stuff starts breaking. Like his computer won't work, his phone won't work, and then he gets in a better mood, and then it's fine. So, I mean, once or twice, it's a coincidence, but if it's constant, there's got to be something to it.
I like this guy, because this is what I've always told people when they get really angry, and then they call me and say, this stuff isn't working. It's like, well, could you just calm down a little bit, and let's rationalize
it. Which sounds ridiculous, but I think it's important, because I think science, capital S, is moving closer to what people used to call mysticism now, because there are, when you get down to the granular level of the theory of relativity and of Ohm and the standard model, physicists don't know why
breaks
it works
down. Yeah,
they can predict it, but they can't explain it. And I would posit that the vibrational analog information in the universe, that's the fly in the soup.
Ez, are you keeping up with this? I'm not sure if Ez is up there. No, she's like,
she's falling asleep.
Yeah,
I'm vibrations, powers,
physicists, energy.
But this is not even fringe theory. This is mainstream string theory.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, we're getting into string theory and whether the particle went to the right side or left. No, it's fascinating stuff. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about, actually.
Yeah, and people don't understand. That's why, I don't know if you know what I do, but people will tell me the last three songs that they randomly heard, and it's typically off of their phone. And so your own personal vibrational energy impacts that electronic device. So there is a very real two-way communication between the universe, big you, and little you being the person listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
Mind Blown. Let's continue this conversation when we come back. We have to take a break and find out from Steve Van Dinter some great tech ways to celebrate your holiday week, and more from Dr. Dingman. And if anyone out there, by the way, if you want to have a reading done, we'll do a quickie. I mean, we'll do well, you know what I meant. You know what I meant, Dr. Dingman.
I think most people do, yeah, Patty. But I'll do a reading just in case.
312-981-7200. You can give us a call if you want to have a reading done. We also have some great tech stuff to talk about with Steve Van Dinter on loan from Verizon. I knew you were going to go somewhere because I was like, why is he just hanging out with me? It's weird. I mean, I know you
I
were
like hanging out with you.
You were traveling all over the country and doing some great things for military moms and for families who really deserved it. I was like, any day now. So congratulations.
Well, thank
and you,
you
so
thank
deserve
you. I'll be
this.
Back, though. Don't worry.
And when someone creates a position for you, that means, like, this guy's amazing. We should do something big so that he doesn't leave us. Michael's next, by the way. I don't know why he stays either.
Don't leave Michael.
I'm just saying. It's time now for our news and more conversation when we return. If you want a reading done by the world-renowned iTunes psychic, Dr. Lars Dingman, who joins us in studio for a rare appearance on a Tuesday. I hope you can't read my mind, Dr. Dingman. You don't read minds. It's a little bit different than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Patty. What I do is I get the last three songs. What I'm able to do, I'm going to start calling myself the Universe Whisperer. Although I probably could come up with something more pretentious. What I do is the universe is constantly communicating with people. But the problem is, because of technology, people are too distracted to hear what's going on. So by taking the last three songs that people randomly heard, I've deduced that when you're in a car and a song hits that applies to your moment right there, that's not a coincidence. That's the universe saying, hey, pay attention. And people don't. So I'm able to connect those dots and tell you what the universe is trying to tell you.
I think it's amazing. And I bet you Steve Van Dinter, in many ways, identifies with the idea that technology, science, the universe have this interplay.
Are all interconnected. Yeah. I'm a firm believer in that. I also am a firm believer in, like, the power of positivity and how it can help impact and change. I can't remember. I read something when I was a kid about how, you know, even if you force a smile or force yourself to make that feeling, like, you start to become more positive and you start to impact more people around you with that positive energy. So I've continued to keep that into adulthood because I there's so much negative stuff that's all around. Like,
what are you talking about?
Right.
What?
Well, and laughter is the only sound. Smiling and laughter is the only thing that is in every culture in the world the same. Crying means different things in different places. Showing your teeth means different things. But actually laughing always is laughing.
Who knew?
Even belching is different in different countries. We have a listener on the line. Anita would love a reading, Dr. Dingman. Hi, Anita. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi.
Good, thank you.
You need a reading?
I do.
Okay, Anita. What were the last three songs that you randomly heard?
In My Life, Days Like This, and You Can Count on Me.
In My Life, Days Like This,
and Count on Me.
Count on Me. Okay. In My Life, Days Like This, Count on Me. Are you having some... I'm seeing... is there someone sick in your family right now?
No.
Everyone's healthy and good?
Yes, and I know... Well, my daughter just had surgery, but she's fine.
Okay, well, yeah.
Surgery sounds like...
Surgery is generic. Sick is generic for being in the hospital, I guess. Yeah.
Right. No.
Yeah, that's... I was seeing some sort of medical thing, and obviously that's what it was. And these songs...
Hold on. Can I ask a question,
sure.
Anita? So when he said sick, were you thinking something more, like, drastic or traumatic?
Yeah. Like a chronic or drastic illness.
So your mind goes to that rather than sort of even something that's as... whatever the surgery was, but surgery means that there's
you're
medical.
In the hospital, yeah.
Yeah.
What happens with me, Anita, is I hear these three songs, you tell them to me, and then I see movies in my head, pictures in my head, and then I try to describe what I see to you. So what I saw was people in blue gowns in a hospital bed. So, and I just said, sick, I'm glad that it's not a serious thing. I'm seeing that it's not a serious thing. And I'm seeing that all three, you've been consumed with getting her better. You've been at the bedside and you've been focused on your daughter completely. I mean, look at these songs. Count on Me, In My Life, Days Like These.
Yeah.
That's like the mom's national anthems All yes, three of them in this case, right?
I've been babysitting her four kids while she's been recuperating.
Yeah. Well, this is the universe giving you a standing ovation, Anita. You know, you are the true essence of family and being there. You know, some people call aunts and uncles people that aren't even in their family because when they need them, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing, the universe is just saluting your motherhood, basically. You know, in days like these, you're in her life and she can count on you. I mean, you know, a chimp could figure this one out. This is simple. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Does that resonate with you?
Yes.
And I'm seeing that there's no long term. I'm seeing very happy. I have a very light feeling about this. So I don't. This is not a long term illness thing, like a broken leg or something,
mm-hmm.
where she's going to be fine eventually and everything's going to move back to normal, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think you're doing a good job. I think this is what the universe is saying. So many times, as Patty was just saying, there's so much negativity that mm-hmm. The universe likes to call our attention to what, you know, when things are working,
mm-hmm.
right? You only complain about the train when it's late, but when you get on the train, you're on the goddamn train and you go where you want to go, but you don't think about it. It's, you know, it's you have to focus your focus on when things are good and appreciate them. So I'm glad you called in.
But Anita, are you calling because there's something else going on in your life that you are concerned about? Because if this is going okay, or you just,
good
no,
question.
Everything's going okay. I just, you know, when I just always wanted a reading.
Oh,
I've never had one before.
And how old are the kids how old are the kids you're babysitting for, taking care for your daughter?
Oh, 3, 5, 8, and 15.
Well, I have a good reason. Well, I don't.
That sounds easy.
I don't know about the 15-year-old, but I have something for you. I have a book to give you, and I think the kids will love this. It's the little kids' first big book of why, to the follow-up to the best-selling book from National Geographic Kids, okay? Hold on the line.
Oh, great.
Yeah, this will be fun for the kids. Of course. Great job, Anita, and that was lovely.
Sometimes things are good, you know, especially now. There's, as we talked about a couple weeks ago on the program, people in the world, in America, are very unsettled on both sides of the political spectrum. So I think people need to hear little tidbits of goodness.
Mm-hmm. So hold on, Anita. Michael will get your information. We're going to send out the reference book that answers some of kids' most burning why questions with more than 200 colorful photos paired with age-appropriate text. And you can get a copy of that book wherever books are sold. I love that call because
she's the crunch berry in the Captain Crunch.
I love that. Anyway, Anita, hold on. Michael will get your information in just a moment. And we have Dr. Dingman's in studio. Which is so weird for me, like maybe twice ever.
And I've never been. This is the new studio. We're up off the street. And
swanky.
It's very swanky. It's like an Apple store.
It's quite beautiful. Well, speaking of technology, have
segue.
Steve Van Vinter in studio with us. What kind of cool stuff do you recommend that people celebrate with?
So one of the things, and I know you've heard me talk about smart lighting before, but I have to say, if you've got Philips Hue lighting in your house that you got for Christmas or you just got over the last year or two, you can download an app right now called Philips Hue Fireworks. It is awesome. So what it's going to do for you, and again, this is a horrible radio, but I'm going to show Patty. I animated basically fireworks at my place. And so you can see here as I hit play, it's actually
audio
and pictures.
It also looks like the police are coming.
Well, right. Yeah. So the neighbors right now are calling the cops thinking there's like gunshots or something. But you can actually animate all sorts of fireworks shows and everything from the big explosions to the little firecrackers. And it actually pops your lights in different colors and animates to the sound. So it's really fun, especially if you've got kids. I love it. I'm about 5 floors off the ground. So if you're down in the courtyard looking up my apartment, it flashes in all the different colors. It's really fun and festive, and people tend to point and go, ooh, oh, what's that?
You know. And you freak out your neighbors.
Oh, absolutely. They have no idea what's going on.
I love
But what would be fun, you know, if you got a house, you could put, you know, have the lights in different
rooms.
Can
you make it strobe?
Light? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's sweet.
So there's actually a Hue Lightning app. So if you like the sounds of nature to go to bed with, sometimes I'll play that. And
because what's more calming than lightning striking your bedroom when you're trying to fall asleep?
You know what I mean? Is like the gentle sounds of rain.
Oh, I can't fall asleep. Oh, maybe I'll be struck by lightning and die. That's calming. Now I'll sleep.
I mean, for those of us that like the sound of nature, like a rumbling thunderstorm, so it'll you know, like those light sheet lightning, it'll just flash a little bit gently.
So you're not going to get electrocuted to death.
Out of the sky, no.
Maybe a little buzz. Maybe your arm sizzles.
Yeah, a little gentle tingle. Yeah, a little tingle there.
So. By the way, I had asked them when we were moving over here, I recommended the Philips Hue lights, and we got white and yellow was all we got.
It looks like I see this little color wheel over here. Is that not colored?
We believe we've been blocked from changing any of the colors.
No.
I can only do dim, bright, and this big panel goes much brighter. Elton Jim, who's coming in a moment, remembers how much I like to change my mood lighting in the studio.
Uh-huh.
So I'm dealing with this. It gets much harsher in here, but I love the Philips Hue lights.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I know. Do you have the Satcher Dingman?
I have lights at my house, yeah.
No, but you can control. You can go from pinks to blues to yellows and greens and control.
Yeah, I have a couple of LED strips that I can do that with behind a big yellow clock.
From an app on your phone?
No, I have to
He's got a remote, right?
Yeah, I have a remote.
Yeah. They have those too.
That's so 2015.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say anything beyond white lighting, though, is good in my book. I'm not a stark white kind of guy.
You know, if you're trying to set the mood, you want to get it on, light different colors of light. Again, what is a different color of light? It's a different vibration of the photons. Quite literally, you're affecting the mood by changing the vibration.
Absolutely.
Everything comes back to that, Patty. It's so refreshing to have a scientist.
I know. I'm more of a sentimentalist, I guess. What am I?
But colors affect sentiment, too. I mean, that's the reason why certain companies put colors in their logos to invoke feelings as you're walking into their store. And
all right, fine.
It's all true.
We have a general question from a listener. So Dr. Dingman will often do a reading based on the last three songs that you heard, but someone has an interesting question.
Okay.
When you hear songs repetitively in your environment, is there some special meaning if a person hears Cliffs of Dover and Jessica a lot over a couple of weeks, repeatedly?
Yes. Yeah, the thesis, what I believe is happening, and this is just my thought process after being able to do this for about 12, 13 years, is the universe is using me to reach out and explain things to specific individuals. Those people are the people that feel the need to call your program or another program or the podcast, whatever. So they're being motivated to do something. And then I trying to explain. So by hearing Jessica and what was the other one? The White Cliffs of Dover?
And yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting a foreboding feeling. I don't know if I'm seeing a change coming. I don't like to do this without talking to the person, but I'm seeing a change coming in their life. You know, when you go over the cliff, it can be a metaphor for death. But it's in this case, I feel it's a metaphor for a seismic shift in your life. Something's going to change.
Interesting.
And Jessica is a long, rambling classic from the Allman Brothers Band. I think you're going to move to a different place, is what I'm feeling. You're good, maybe a job change, and you're going to go somewhere else.
Wow. See what happens. You're never here on Wednesdays.
No, this is fascinating. I love it.
I know. I'm kind of sad. Okay, so you're back only one more time before you move?
Yes.
To New York. In 2 weeks, you'll be back.
Yes,
Steve Van Denter.
In 2 weeks.
Now, you're just hanging out for the 4th of July, just kind of chilling.
I am, yes. So I'm planning to sleep in because I don't do that a lot. And going to do a little cleaning of my apartment and just kind of enjoying the
holiday. The lights on while you're cleaning.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'll have them red, white, and blue, and it'll be great.
All right, before we go to the break, I just want to let people know there's some great things happening in Chicago. So if you haven't had made plans yet, right, it's almost 1 a.m. in the morning, and you have no motivation right now.
It's already the 4th of July.
It is.
Right.
But maybe you wake up and you're like, you know, I wish I'd done something. You know what's really cool? At the Chicago History Museum, they are doing they're doing a reading of the Declaration of Independence, which I kind of love that. We were talking about democracy earlier.
It'll be new to so many people.
I'm just saying, and if you get up early, right, it's only one now, fall asleep, not during Elton Jim, like you can doze off, but wake up during Elton Jim when he comes on next, but at 10 a.m., they're going to be doing a free, all day free at the Chicago History Museum. They're doing the Americana Concert Band, and they're doing a reading of the Declaration of Independence, and I love that as something unique and different to do on the 4th of July. Obviously, you've got the Independence Day salute at the Millennium Park, you've got the, oh, Six Flags Great American is a great 4th of July celebration. You've also got the Red, White, and Brew Cruise. Hello. Hello. You know that's
sure.
That's sort of in my wheelhouse right there. They've got the big Whoop-Dee-Doo at the Theater on the Lake with the Golden Horse Ranch Band and some great stuff there. The 4th of July Jazzin' at the Shedd Aquarium. These are all Chicago events, and I don't want to make anybody feel like we're not paying attention to the suburbs. There are going to be fireworks at in Crestwood, Chicago Heights, Evergreen Park, Elgin. I mean, like, how are there any
fireworks? Aren't there fireworks
left
on Navy Pier as well?
At 9:30. We'll be here watching them from
CDOA. That is a place for a party.
Yeah. Elgin, Morton Grove, Oak Lawn. This is, like, so many fireworks. Look at this. Oak Forest, Oak Park. I can't even get through all these to tell you where all the, in Will County. And
where aren't the fireworks going to be?
Exactly.
Well, we had fireworks tonight in Wheaton, so I don't think they're having them tomorrow night.
All right, fine then.
But you can go elsewhere.
Wait, let me see. Let me see what Wheaton. I'll find you some fireworks in Wheaton. I'll bet you there's another in Will County. Did I say Wheaton? Mokena has their 4th of July parade starting at 10 a.m. I didn't have a chance to read all these, and I feel like I was a community calendar tonight for so many. Maybe they didn't. No one's checking here for their festivities for the 4th, right? You know what? I got brats for you. Come hang out with us. More to this on 720 WGN. My something good is that I really enjoyed my time with you. I have another something good in just a moment, but I want to thank Steve Van Dinter for joining us in studio on loan from Verizon, our tech guru, who's joined us for Tech Tuesday for over a year now. And
yeah,
congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you.
And we will miss you dearly. I hope that you'll still visit us.
I will be back. Don't worry.
I appreciate that. And Dr. Dingman has joined us in studio for one of your rare appearances in mm-hmm. Chicago, and we appreciate that. We have the listener who texted in those two songs, Jessica and the Cliffs of Dover, says that she's going through a divorce. And I think it's a she. I'm assuming, and I apologize. But I encourage them to call next time that you are on the air with us.
What I said, going over the cliff. That's a major life change.
And also, by the way, to Ken, yes, Andrea had the night off. I'm not sure. I think they're adjusting the cameras and just trying to figure out what they're going to do with them. So I don't know if you're getting a shot of Navy Pier right now, but that'll be our new studios. That'll be our view from the new studios coming up very soon. So sorry about that, Ken. I know that you miss Andrea. She'll be back tomorrow night, and she took the night off. I want to say this. I had a great time today. A good friend of mine invited me to a Cubs game today, and we sat in the bleachers, and it was so much fun. I brought my son with me, who has come to Cubs games with me many times before, and like, he's always very quiet and, you know, doesn't go crazy about things. Like, one time, Steve, we were at a Cubs game, and everyone around us, he was about 8 or 9 years old, everyone was swearing up a storm, and he kept flinching every time someone would swear. And I'm like, I'm sorry, sweetie, have you never heard these words? And he goes, just not the same time, Mommy. And today, I think that's why he brought his National Geographic with him today to Wrigley, was like, you know, I'm going to watch a little, I'm going to read a little, I can do a little bit of both. But we were sitting in the bleachers. He'd never sat there before. And he goes, when we were walking back to our car, he goes, I like the bleachers, but can we maybe do that for a night game next time? Because it was a little bit sunny out there. He said direct sunlight. It was a little, the sun was harsh out there.
It was warm.
Yeah, it looked like it was very warm today.
It was very hot.
Look, you guys had fun though. I looked at your Facebook Live. That looked fun.
So good. I had a hot Doug's hot dog. So good. Shirley hooked me up with the very last Les Lester in the park. They ran out of this Les Lester. It's got like cheddar cheese and caramelized onions. And then during the eighth inning, a friend of mine loves Old Style. It's like his favorite beer. He doesn't get to get to Chicago very often. So I realized
that's a beer that's here locally?
Yes, it's a local beer. And it's home for people who are from Chicago. And I realized that I hadn't gotten him one yet because I went to the Shade and Griffin and I stood there for the longest time. And I had to get him one. And there was one out left before they cut off all beer sales.
Oh, no.
And I was running down the runway. And we got there and they were yelling, you know, one more out and that's it. And I got my friend Old South. So a lot of something goods at Wrigley today. So I had a lot of fun. A really wonderful
that
day.
That sounds cold and delicious.
And the Cubs won 5 in a row. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin everybody else.
But she's not excited.
I'm not. I'm not excited at all.
I wish you were more emotive. You know?
I loved my Tuesday. So thank you so much to my friends who hung out with us at Wrigley today. And Steve, what's your something good?
Two quick ones. For one, that I got to be on the show with Dr. Damien. This has been great. One of my favorite topics to talk about. And two, Patty, that I've gotten to spend, like you said, more than a year with you guys
in
the overnight hours, losing sleep, but having a great time. So
I'm so glad and grateful for all of your time that you've shared with us. So onward and upward.
That's right.
Enjoy. Dr. Dingman, I don't think we've ever done maybe once or twice on the phone with you, but do you have something good to tell us?
Yeah, I think my something good is tomorrow everyone will be thinking about America and about our democracy, and hopefully people will be filled with a need to pitch in and help it. I think it's a little ill right now, and I think it's a good time to focus on that and realize that these guys, Adams and Jefferson and Franklin, they were real people, and they did an amazing thing. It would be like five guys in Hinsdale taking down Canada. I mean, it was that was the scale of what happened. With, you know, you've hopefully read the stories in your schools, but it was an amazing thing, and it was done out of a certain purity of intellect and heart, and I hope people can attach to that on the 4th of July, and, you know, it's our country. We have to fight for it sometimes.
Yeah, and not just the country, but what it's based on. What the ideals are.
The rule of law and civility and the Enlightenment. All the people that crafted the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were enlightened scientific humanists. They were people that wanted the best for people and made up a government. They had a king and they said, no, we don't. Kings are... I can't say BS. We want to do something different.
Wait, go ahead. Say that. Okay, don't do it.
And they did. They made it up. They literally said, and they made up rules, and that's what we're still living by. It's a fantastic accomplishment, and we should be thankful that those people came before us, and we should be worthy of their legacy. That's hopefully people think that, or they'll go to a barbecue.
Well, or that too. Or both. And we have listeners texting in from the 224. My something good. There's some direction career-wise that seems to be happening. And then they say another good thing for all the bad right now, there are a lot of amazing Americans who haven't given up on doing good. So that's the thing. That's what
I was just saying that.
Well,
exactly.
The negative voices are always so much louder. Elton Jim is hanging out in the producer's booth. You can, if you want to join us. Something good coming up is Elton Jim is taking over for Nick D tonight for the 4th of July. He's got 4 hours of radio coming up. And the conversation you were having the other night about working in grocery stores. I can't remember.
Yeah, we were talking about summer.
Summer. There you go. There it is. Yes.
We were talking about summer jobs and the goofy summer jobs you had. And then I was talking, I was a jewel bagger.
Yes.
And then I became a cashier.
Were you part of the union? Because Jewel had a union. Yeah,
definitely. I was definitely. I was 16 or 17, and I was already a member of the union.
Yeah, I remember one of my classmates, Patty Zulke, was like, "You got to join." Dominic's also had a union, and she was a union member since she was 16 years old.
Oh yeah, in fact,
old.
When I became a cashier, I was like 19. I was making like $9 an hour, like in 1982.
Wow.
See? People don't realize.
I should have stayed there. I don't know why I got into this.
That was triple the minimum wage at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great.
It's amazing. What's coming up on your show tonight?
Well, coming off of what you were doing, I am actually going to celebrate Independence Day. I have, remember when we were in eighth grade, you had to pass the U.S. Constitution test?
Yes.
Can you pass it now?
No.
Hell yes.
Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
So I've got
for money? Can we do this for money? Or for pizza?
Okay, the first Dr. What Dingleman?
Dingman. Wow.
No, in fact, I always hear him on the phone, and so it's good to see you in person.
It's good to be here in person.
But so the first 10 amendments are called what?
The Bill of Rights.
Awesome. You could actually maybe pass this. What is the elastic clause?
The elastic clause, it's like if you want to, like you're going to Thanksgiving dinner, you want to wear pants that are going to breathe with you.
So Elton Jim is celebrating our democracy as well. So I love that we're carrying on the conversation.
But I found Johnny Cash reading the Gettysburg Address.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we're going to play some.
And what a great speech. I mean, like, that's another. There's a great reading by Sam Waterston of Abraham Lincoln's address to Cooper's Union, though.
Oh.
It was from 1860 while he was campaigning to be president. And it talks about, like, what it means to disagree, what it means to be conservative and liberal. And by the way, Lincoln was liberal. He thought that there you should be able to have progress and not move backwards. And it's an amazing address. But Gettysburg, because Cooper's Union is like an hour and a half address, I've listened to the whole thing several times, but people thought he was going to go on and on and on.
And that's why it was only a little page.
And the brilliance in that speech is
startling.
There's
no wasted words in that speech.
Not a single word.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Yeah. So I should probably go now. Elton Jim is up next. Steve Andinger is back in a couple weeks. Senator Dingman will be joining us. Follow him at iTunes Psychic.
Yes.
On Twitter. Go to his website, itunespsychic.com. At Steve Andinger.
S. Van Dinter.
I got it wrong. See,
it's
so
right.
many weeks in a row. I got it right.
You did so well.
You know why? You disappoint me by leaving me.
I know, right?
Me.
I'm
You're
sorry.
Leaving me. I know. At S. Van Dinter on Twitter. And also follow him on Instagram and follow his journeys as he leaves us for greener pastures. It's fine. I'm fine. It's okay. Whatever.
You got 2 weeks.
It's time now for our news. Don't forget, Steve Cochran celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. And I will be at the Skokie 4th of July parade at noon and then Evanston at 2.
What are you doing in the parade?
The fan van's rolling, my friend. I got my Captain America costume again. I'm all good. Yeah, she's a little... My Captain America's a little bit more... a little more frisky than maybe a Chris Evans might dress up as. But
yeah, I can imagine that.
My mom goes, do you know your breasts look too big? And then I go, and that dress... I go, it's not the dress, Mommy. It's not the dress.